Amen. Well, we're turning again to Colossians and chapter 4, and our text is just a single verse. It's verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Our subject this morning is persevering in prayer. That's what the word continue means. It means to pray and to go on praying until God hears and answers. Continue in prayer. Paul has been teaching this small young church in Colossae. He's been teaching them the answer to the great problems that seem to be coming into the church. They've been following rituals. They've been worshipping angels, when they should be only worshipping the one true living God. They've been following ceremonies. So Paul says, really the theme of the whole of the four chapters of the letter of Paul to the Colossians is this: Christ is central. Christ is sufficient. Christ is above angels. We don't need ceremonies, we don't need rituals, we only need the one Saviour, Jesus Christ. Well, there are two important keys to understanding chapter 3 and chapter 4. Chapters 1 and 2 are the teaching, chapters 3 and 4 are the application. And the central points that are being made here are that two things are vital in the Christian life. The first was there in chapter 3. It tells us in verse 16 that God's word is central. I hope you know that from this church. Every meeting that we have, we read God's word. We have God's word normally when we meet next door above the people. And we study it, and we preach it, and we publish it, and we read it and learn it. That's how God's word is so important for us. In verse 16, Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." What are we to worship with? God's word, God's truth. And so the first point he makes is the centrality of God's word. Where is God's word in your life? Is it the most important source of truth? Or is it social media? Or is it what I say to you? Or is it the things you hear on the grapevine? No, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. God's word, through Christ, who is the living word, that is to be central. If it is, what's all the application that we've been looking at in the following verses from Colossians 3:16? It's saying that when God's word dwells in you richly, your marriage will be changed. Not just changed, transformed. Your relationships with other people will be changed. Your employee relationships will be changed. That's what all the application from chapter 3 verse 18 down to verse 1 of chapter 4 are all about. When God's word is in your heart, in your mind, in your life, it will change it. If it dwells, lives, breathes. God's word is God breathing out. What are we to do? Take it in. Take it into your heart and into your life. Well, the second thing is a prayer life. Chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer. Do you know when Paul writes his letters, There is an order. You can find exactly the same order in Ephesians. God's word comes first. You have to put on the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. And then he goes on to say, praying always. It's a parallel verse. Just look at it. Just turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. We read it. This is an expanded and parallel verse to the one that we're going to look at. That's why we read it earlier. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always. Notice that the armor of God is to be put on first. You cannot pray unless you are wearing the whole armor of God. We shall cover this later. Do you find it hard to pray? I do. But am I wearing the whole armor of God? Well, verse 18 in Ephesians 6, Paul has already twice said, put on the whole armor of God. Then, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto. You see, Paul repeats again and again, prayer will be difficult. And when you pray, you've got to keep praying and you've got to watch and you've got to be wearing the whole armor of God. Maybe if you're struggling in prayer, it's because you've allowed the devil to stop you, to distract you, to take you away from feeling your prayers and really desiring your prayers and praying, as we heard this morning, like Jonah, in desperation. Then God will hear. Praying always. Well, we turn back to Colossians. Do you know, when we read God's word, we breathe in the word of God. When we pray, what is prayer? Breathing out. Do you know, you should pray when you can. Sometimes there's no time. Pray after you've read the word of God. You breathe in God's word, you breathe out God's word. It's a very helpful practice. Read, pray. Pray, read. The two go hand in hand. And that's why Paul has put it that way in Colossians. So I want to ask four questions this morning and try to answer them briefly. Firstly, what is prayer? Secondly, do you have a prayer life? Don't need to shout out. In your heart, do you really have a prayer life? Thirdly, why is prayer so difficult? It's a battle. Why? And fourthly, how can we persevere and continue in prayer? So the first question, what is prayer? That sounds like a silly question. Today, if the population census done in 2022, when there was a survey done, is correct, less than 10% of people will be worshipping in a church. That's the typical average over a month. But very strangely, when you ask in the same survey, do you pray? Do you ever pray? 56% of the population say, oh yes, I pray. Nearly six times more people pray than go and worship. Isn't that strange? Prayer. It seems like over half the population know a little about prayer. They know they need to pray. They do pray occasionally when they're in need, but they don't worship. They don't go and hear God's word. How can you pray if you don't hear God's word? What a strange thing. Prayer, what is it? God's appointed means to communicate with him. We can't communicate with God through a séance. or through going to some meeting where just close your mind, empty your mind. No, we pray to God through understanding what God is like. We pray to him in spirit and in truth. Prayer is carefully chosen words, not too many of them. What does it say in Ecclesiastes? We mustn't rush to pray. We mustn't be hasty. God is in heaven. We are upon earth. So we are to let our words be few. No, it's the Pharisee that prays long. The Christian prays sincerely, with carefully chosen words. Let's go back to the Old Testament. In those days, nobody could approach unto God alone unless there was a priest. The priest's job was to enable people to pray. And so we read in 2 Chronicles 30:27, then the priests arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer, the prayer of the priest, came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Oh, if you knew God, you could pray. But the people who were far from God, they needed a priest to pray for them. Abraham prayed because he knew God. And others prayed because they knew God. Do you know God? Can you pray to God? If you don't know him, no, you can't. We can only worship God and pray to God if we truly know him. What is prayer? It's for people that know him or want to know him. The only prayer of an unbeliever that God will hear is the prayer that says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, show mercy to me. Because God cannot hear the prayers of somebody that's unclean and unwashed and far from God. We need a mediator. We don't need a priest anymore because we have the one priest. That's what 1 Timothy 2:5 says. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus. That's how we pray. Sometimes we hear people pray, they may not know any better. They pray to the Father. We can't do that. We pray through the Son. It's through Christ, our high priest, that we pray. Don't need to turn to it, but John 14:13-14 says, whatsoever ye ask, this is Christ speaking, in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. We don't pray directly to the Father normally. We pray through the Son. Having first asked for the forgiveness of our sin, having been washed and cleansed so that we can come before God, and then we can pray. We pray when we're a believer. We pray as an unbeliever to find God, to be washed and to be cleansed. What is prayer? Prayer is the pouring out of our soul before God. It's speaking to God. In a way, prayer is nothing grand. It's just words. But words directed to God through Christ. It's been said that a person is, what do we consist of? A person is what we are on our knees. And nothing more and nothing less. What's your prayer life like today? Do you think well of yourself? Do you think you've accomplished much? How's your prayer life? What you are on your knees before God is what you really are. That's what God sees and hears. Prayer is the only means of true blessing. If you want your life to be blessed, you need to have a prayer life. Prayer is a necessity of every believer. If you don't have a prayer life, you are not a Christian. It's impossible to say, I'm a Christian, but I never really pray. Because a dead corpse doesn't breathe. And so an unbeliever doesn't pray. Prayer is the only way of finding God and knowing God. That's how we come to Him. Prayer, God's appointed means, carefully chosen words, how we approach God, pouring out of the heart before God. So let me ask this question. Have we got people here this morning and you don't actually have a prayer life? This is a very private matter. Do you really have a prayer life? Are you alive spiritually? Because if you really are alive and your soul knows peace with God, you will have a prayer life. There's no doubt about it. A dead corpse doesn't breathe out praying, doesn't breathe in. Read God's word. It's as simple as that. But once you've come to life, you will breathe, you will speak to God, your heart will have desires for God. And that is prayer, expressing our desires to God. You know, many people treat God like a doctor. They only go to the doctor when they've got a need. They don't go to God to praise Him, to worship Him. They don't go to God because they desire Him. They just go when they feel something's wrong. Exam time, God. But no other time, God. Is that the way we treat God? No prayer life? Maybe we do pray, but it's just a habit. Our parents taught us to pray. Maybe it's a ritual, superstition. Oh, I always pray before such and such. I prayed before I had an anesthetic, just in case. It's just part of what I do. Some pray and they lift up themselves. That's what the Pharisee did, wasn't it? I thank God that I'm not as other men. We pray and we compare ourselves. The only comparison to make in prayer is with my God and how I should be and how I'm not. That's true prayer, is realizing what we are before God. We shall sing this hymn, delightful hymn, later. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire. That's what prayer is. It's what I really want being brought before God, the only person that can give, the only person that can bless. Is that how I pray? My sincere desire before God. Prayer is the simplest form of speech. Even a child can pray. The youngest that can say words can pray to God. If you don't have a prayer life this morning, draw near to God. And He promises in the letter of James to draw near to you. If you don't pray, start today. Go to Him on your knees. Draw near to God. Well, third question. Why is prayer such a battle? I'm sure there's nobody here this morning that could say, I find prayer like a walk in the park. I find prayer so easy. It's just like flying in the air. You can soar up. No, prayer is hard. And it is hard because it's a spiritual activity. It's the highest spiritual activity that we will be involved in before eternity. And when we commence prayer, you will feel the forces of evil. You will feel Satan stopping you, distracting you, delaying you. He will use all his schemes to stop you even praying. I tell you this, in family life, those who are parents will know this. You think, well, we've got to get together to pray. It's that time of day. We're together. Oh, I've got to go and do this. And one child says, I've got to go and do that. And then the phone rings. Why is it? Just when you're ready to pray, you're stretched in four directions. Because Satan's at work. Satan wants to hinder. The Puritan Samuel Chadwick said, Satan dreads nothing except prayer. His one concern is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless Christians. He fears nothing from those that laugh when they should be praying. He fears not our work, but he mocks our wisdom, and he trembles when every believer prays. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. Continue in prayer. Keep at it. Persevere. Every day, every hour. Do you know prayer isn't about a place? It's not about a set time, although those can be helpful. Prayer should be like breathing. It should be a constant activity. You walk down the street, pray. You put your head on the pillow, pray. Speak to God. Tell him your desires. We said earlier that the reason we sometimes struggle in prayer is because we're not prepared. We put on the helmet, but not the feet. We put on the shield, but we don't have the sword. The whole armor of God is to be put on. It was designed to work together. Use it. Put it on. Immediately after the whole armor of God is mentioned, he says, pray always. Now you're ready. If you've got that armor on, you're ready to pray. Why do I need the shield of faith? Because the arrows will come in and will tell you, God won't hear your prayer. Not after what you've done today. Not after that thing that you looked at and those words that you said. How can you pray to Almighty God when you're such a hypocrite? That's what the devil does. And that's when you need to get on your knees and confess your sin. John Bunyan, he said, prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge to Satan. He pushes Satan away when we get on our knees. We put that shield up and it protects the soul. And it's what God wants to hear. A true sacrifice from sincere lips. Martin Luther said, prayer is the sweat of the soul. It's hard work. When we gather together to pray as a church, after a busy day, to follow one another's prayers, especially if they're a little long, that's hard. But the Lord calls us to pray. Continue in prayer. What's the next word? Watch. Be alert is literally what it means. Be watching. Watching for Satan. Watching for sleep. Watching for distractions. So fourthly, how should we persevere in prayer? I want to be practical. Well, maybe we should have a model for prayer. Prayer isn't to be so artificial that we just go through a checklist, but I think sometimes it's helpful. There is an order in prayer, and we know this from reading the nearly 100 recorded detailed prayers in the Word of God. They follow a pattern. And of course, the Lord taught us how to pray. The first thing in prayer, look up. Adoration of Almighty God. Mention some of his names. Mention his character. Who he is. Prayer, the first thing. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, there's a reason for prayer that way. We don't just come to God like he's a next door neighbour, a chum, a mate. Where you can, approach him with reverence, adoration. Secondly, praise. Thank him for what he's done, not just what he is, what he's done in your life. Thank him for today. Thank him for all your life up until today. Thank him for salvation. Thank him for his help. Thank him for answers to prayer. Thank him for your family. There must be something in your family to be thankful for, although it may not be as you wish. Thank him. Praise him. What does it say? Go back to our text. Continue, persevere in prayer, and watch, be alert in the same, with thanksgiving. It's amazing how often Paul puts thanksgiving in prayer. Adoration, praise and worship. Thirdly, thanksgiving for his love and mercy to us. Some of these things, they overlap, but they're helpful. Fourthly, confession of sin. Why do I put that forth? Because until I've remembered who God is and what he's done and salvation, I can't really understand the gravity, the seriousness of my latest sins. Tell him your sin. Tell him your desire is forgiveness. Your desire is to be right with God, to be washed and to be cleansed. This is real prayer. This is how the people of the Word of God prayed. This is how we should pray. Fifthly, submission. Never demand from God. Sometimes you hear people on the television, these channels that sometimes we are exposed to, and you hear people shouting at God, I demand this, I want this. That's not prayer. Prayer submits to the will of God. You know best. Your will, not mine, be done, said the Lord Jesus Christ. We want God's way, not my way, and we submit to what would be for the glory of God, and we don't know always what that will be. You have a hardship, a trial today. Why has God allowed it? Why is my family, my marriage, my job not as I desire it to be? Because God has ordained it. Because it will be for his glory. Sixthly, intercession for others. We pray for others. I haven't even mentioned myself. That's at the end. I pray for others. Supplication, intercession. And then finally, we can pray for ourselves. Isn't that right? That should be the order of prayer. Bless me for this. I ask for that. Bless me. That's not the way we should pray. We persevere in prayer. We have a pattern that will help us. What about Christ? Of course, he's our pattern for prayer. He didn't need to adore God, did he? Because he was God. He didn't need to confess his own sin because he didn't have any. So what were his prayers focused on? Well, isn't it interesting? Even the Lord Jesus prays, submitting to the will of God. In Gethsemane, we had that hymn earlier. That's what the Lord Jesus did. He felt the pain. He could see the suffering. And he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He then focuses upon not himself, interceding for others, his disciples, their protection, that they would be united in truth, that they would be sanctified in truth. That's what the Lord Jesus prays for. And then, towards the end of John 17 and his prayer, he prays that his life would bring glory to God. How can we persevere? We need to keep alert. The word, it's interesting, in the Greek, is the word that we get the Christian name Gregory from. Gregorio. Be alert, be awake. I don't think we have any Gregories here this morning. If that's your name, it was given in the early church to believers that they were alert, awake. That's what we need to be when we pray. Gregorio. We need to make prayer an all day long activity. We need to measure our prayers not by length, but by sincerity and by earnestness. Sometimes the shortest prayer is the most meant and the most felt. An arrow prayer in a desperate need. Continue. Don't stop. Carry on asking. If you've got some besetting sin this morning and it's eating away, you can't stop it, pray. Pray in the hour of temptation. Pray. But there's one more thing, and it's there in verse 3. Praying also for us. You see, Paul says, your prayers should be gospel focused. When you pray, make sure you pray for others to be saved. Make sure you pray for the preaching of God's word. Pray also for us, he's saying. Pray for pastors. Pray for teachers. Pray for evangelists. Pray for Sunday school teachers. Pray, how? Why? That God would open a door, an opportunity. An opportunity for preaching in the prison, in Sunday school. Pray that we'll be able to teach and publish and proclaim God's word. Pray for those that go out from this church. Pray for them. That's what Paul's saying. Pray also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. An opportunity to speak. Maybe somebody this week, at work, at school, you'll be given the opportunity to stand in front of a large number of people. What will you say? Pray for us that God would open a door of utterance to speak. What about the mystery of Christ? How astonishing it is that the global pandemic of sin has already been dealt with by Jesus Christ. And Paul says at the end of verse 3, because of this, because I preached the gospel, because I went before kings and emperors, I've been put in prison. That's where I'm writing this letter from now. From Ephesus. Pray for us that we'll have opportunities this week as a church to preach the gospel, to give out tracts, to speak to a homeless person, to speak to a colleague, a neighbour, a relative, a husband, a wife, a child. Pray for us. That's what we're to be praying about. Paul says so. continue in prayer. Watch with thanksgiving for all the past opportunities, but pray for us. Verse 4, we close with this. That I may make it. What's the it? The gospel. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel, that I may make it manifest, clear, abundantly obvious, as I ought to speak. I have an obligation as a Christian. Are you a witnessing person? Using your life and lips for him? Pray. If you've not had an opportunity in the last week, pray. But prayer predominantly is for believers. If you don't know Christ this morning, you need to pray the sinner's prayer, that God would be merciful to you. If you don't have a prayer life, you go to him and pray and ask him to show himself to you. May the Lord help us this morning to continue in prayer.